This is Real Ghost Stories Online Live Edition. We are well into the month of October 2018. Looking forward to your calls today live at 216-446-7810. Call in if you're watching us live on YouTube or Facebook right now. If you're tuning into the podcast, sit back and enjoy. You got a full hour of great ghost stories on the way. 216-GHOST-10. Call in right now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us live. We are doing our weekly live edition of the program. Very excited to have you here and have you be a part of it. 216-446-7810, the phone number to call to share your real ghost stories with us live today on the air. I'm literally pasting the video clip to the social media channels so I can post it out there as we get into the episode. I got frustrated last week with our computer that I've been using over here. You can't really see it, the cameras, but it was this little one over here. And, you know, I bought this a couple years ago as kind of a to-go computer for work stuff. And it's always disappointed me. It just has. And it was like, it was supposed to be a powerful little kind of, you know, thin thing to go. And it's always just been kind of like, eh. And I thought, well, you know, at the least it could be used here in this studio for taking calls and kind of managing that. Oh, not so much. It worked okay the first couple of weeks in here. And then it just started, like, last couple of weeks, messing with the caller sounds, getting a delay, just not keeping up with anything. So I said, I'm done with this one. I brought my monstrosity in here that I use for pretty much everything else. So we should have a little better sound issue solved, or better sounds with the program here today. Less delay, less lag. So I'm looking forward to that with our live programs. Please call in and share your ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. We already got... I have a caller, an anonymous, that's going to be, I'll get to right after our first caller at 215. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Robert from Warrington.
Well, Robert, welcome to the program. You got a ghost story for us today.
Yes, this one is from me personally.
Right.
I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, I called in about my mother saying her dead grandfather when she was a kid.
Sure.
And now I just remembered one that happened to me. I guess I was around maybe 13 years old or 12. I was living in a duplex with my mother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's bedroom is at the end of the hall. And my bedroom was, I guess, the first one. And my sister was in my mother's bedroom talking to her one night, and I'm in my bedroom, and I had a lamp on my end table, and when it was on, just from the way the shade is, it would make it look like there's, I guess, shadows or things like that on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So my cat comes on the bed and sees sitting facing the headboard, and the lamp is on the right hand side. So she's staring straight up at the wall, and she's making like little noises, like if she saw something. And at first I'm thinking it's the shadow, so I'm moving my hand like around the lamp, and even when my hand would flicker on the wall, she wouldn't move or look at it. She was like fixated on one spot. So at first I thought it was the lamp. So I turned it off and turned it back on, and she did not move. So I called, you know, my mom and sister, and I said, what the hell is she looking at?
Sure.
So they thought, like me, they said, turn the lamp off. You know, so I did. And we waited for a little bit. And we put it back on, and she did not move, even if we, like, called her, made noise. So I tried one thing. I tried to, like, push her, like, sideways, to, like, kind of nudge her off the bed.
Yeah.
And she constantly would run back to the center of the bed. And she would, like, run back to that spot and stay up there and keep making noise. And I would say it went on for like a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I bet you my mom and sister forgot all about this, because I'm going to have them listen to the show. But it was the weirdest thing, because I remember, like, I kept, you know when you push like an animal,
mm-hmm.
and they push back, like,
sure.
if they want to stay in one spot. And she not only, like, resisted, but like if I did nudge her off, she would like charge back to the center of the bed and sit there and look, and then she would, you know, make these not chirping noises, but like when they see a bug or something.
Yeah.
And it stuck in my head, because I know a lot of people say animals you know, see things.
You know, they see or they sense something, I'd say, more than anything, where they're a good compass. They're a good canary in the coal mine, if you will, if you have something paranormal going on, because they're going to let you know usually before anybody else. And if you got something that is that animate about its space and where it's at, I'd say you certainly had something going on. I bet it'll be interesting when you share this with your family, because I'm guessing that when you share it with them, there you're going to get some moments of, ah, gosh, I remember that. And you're going to hear it from a whole other perspective that you probably you know, didn't have at that time.
None of us ever had any kind of, like, paranormal events, because I think we were there for about 10 years. I'm
sure.
not sure. We never had anything happen. But that stuck in my head after I called you like a month ago about my mother when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And I went, wait a minute, I finally have a story to tell them that happened to me.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that story with us, Robert. Call in anytime. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Caller 908, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Kelly, and I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Kelly, got a ghost story for us today?
Yes, I think it is.
All right.
So I was always really close with my great-grandpa, and so in 2012, he passed away. So about 30 years before that, he gave my mom a birthday present. He gave her an opal ring, and opal is the birthstone of October, and both my mom and I were born in October. So when I was little, I would always, of course, naturally, since that was also my birthstone, I stole that ring from her, and she was fine with it because, you know, she knew my great-grandpa and I were really close, so... So after he passed away, I started wearing this ring a lot more often. And, you know, I would wear it a lot. And then, you know, sometimes I would forget to wear it. And then, you know, a couple of years later, I would wear it more. So fast forward to college, and I started wearing it again. But then I lost it. Like, I had no idea where it went. And I was really bummed about it, because I felt like that was the only thing I had of him left. So in 2015, my family moved to New Hampshire, and you know, when you move, you're just like, it's just a mess. Like, everything's all over the place. It's a mess. You like stuff things into furniture that you didn't think could fit, and just, you know, like, it's just a mess.
Sure.
So, I still didn't know where the ring was. And when we moved to the house in New Hampshire, it was lost. And one day, we had this wall unit that was downstairs in our basement, where it held the TV and everything. And I remember we shoved like random stuff into there, like from downstairs, like books, like, and then when we got there, put in a.
I'm losing you. Are you there? What happens with the ring is the question. I'm going to guess. Should I finish the story? I'm going to guess she moved, going through stuff, finds it in some really odd place that otherwise there's no way it could have been. I hate that when we lose a story like that. If you can call back in and finish it up, that would be great. Caller at 810, hang on the line. We're going to go to you next. First caller at 618. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Kim from Benton, Illinois.
All right, Ken. Before we get into your story, I just want to remind everybody to please press share on this on Facebook. Everyone who does that can be in a drawing for the Spirit Flask, which you can now get if you're a yearly EPP when you're come up for renewal, or if you sign up or upgrade to a yearly membership. I'm going to give one of these away to someone who presses share today on this, or you can share it out through other social media as well. Just hashtag it real ghost stories, and I'll look for it that way, and I'll randomly pick one person. All right, let's hear your story today, Ken.
Okay, first off, I need to preface this with the fact that we lived in the house that I'm going to be talking about for 15 years with these spirits. But the part that sticks out the most was about a year after we moved in. My daughters all shared a bedroom, and my daughter had a top bunk bed. She slept on the top bunk, and it's maybe 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and we hear her tell somebody, "No, I can't come with you and go play. My mommy and daddy was missing." It was about 2 or 3 days later when we swapped bedrooms around, and me and my wife took that bedroom over and let whatever was in that room talk to her in the other part of the house. That, like I said, that's just one thing that sticks out the most in my mind. This, after 15 years of living there, I've got stories upon stories of that place.
At the end of the day, once you finally did move on or move out, looking back, what do you think it was? What was going on there?
Well, after digging through some of the research on the house, we did find out that there had been a couple deaths at the house, one of which was a little boy. And just the little things that would happen in the house, we would have electronics go missing. And then 2-3 weeks later, they would show up in the middle of the living room floor, completely cleaned, right underneath the ceiling fan, right dead center in the floor. So it was the crazy little thing that you missed when you moved on.
Stuff that was clearly going on, but very difficult to put an identifier on or say it was this or it was that, but obviously something unexplained happening in that house. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us today. Let's go to caller over at 810. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kauai.
All right. Well, that's quite a ways away. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
It is.
Let's hear your ghost story.
Yeah, I'm new to listening to your podcast, but my story is actually, it takes place at, we're doing a family vacation over in Big Island, and we went over there and stayed with one of our friends, and in the middle of the night, it was our first night staying there. We stayed there for 3 nights, and the first night staying at his house, I felt like, it just felt weird in his house, kind of, it was big, and, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of stuff on his walls, but, that night, I had this weird smell come in the room, and it smelled like coins. Like, you know how your hands smell after you touch coins and stuff?
Sure.
It smelled like that, but really strong. Gave me a bellyache. And then all of a sudden, I felt me slide on the bed, like, you know, 2 or 3 inches. And then someone held me down on my chest. And so I sat there and I was like, I don't even know what's going on. And I couldn't see anybody and I didn't see anything wrong. But that I finally was just like, this is weird. And so I just called my grandma and I was like, please watch over me. And then all of a sudden, like, the smell went away and like all the pressure on my chest went away and then it was gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it was really weird.
Did you look into it afterwards? I mean, I'm sure you probably heard of sleep paralysis, right?
I did, but actually he said that there is, there's Hawaiian Indians, mm-hmm. burial grounds around there.
Sure.
So, but he did tell me that, and he actually said himself that after I told him, you know, what happened in his house, I was like, I felt, you know, bad telling him because I didn't know, I've never had anything happen to me before.
Sure.
And so he did say that he did have, you know, a couple times where he's been on the couch and he'll feel like he's seen someone walk by and he's the only one that lives there. Mm-hmm. So he's like, somebody there, and he doesn't see anybody.
A lot of times the things go hand in hand with, I mean, I'm not saying all sleep paralysis is paranormal. I'm not saying, you know, it vice versa, but a lot of times you do have it work hand in hand with things like that. That's only like one of the creepiest things I ever had was an episode of sleep paralysis, but I think it was tied in with something else. That would be a creepy, creepy experience. Let me ask you this, a completely non-paranormal related question. Someone who lives over there on the islands, do you ever like go to like, oh, we're going to take a tropical vacation now, like as we would go, you know, from the mainland over there for a tropical vacation. Does anyone ever just like crave, oh, we're going to Iowa this summer for our summer vacation, cornfields, just like something completely, you know, different?
They don't. It's actually what's really big over here is they call it the Ninth Island, but you know, it's Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people from the islands go to Vegas, which I find weird.
Well, you know, it's...
because I'm... Oh, go ahead.
You're what?
Oh, I was just going to say, because I'm from Michigan.
Okay.
And so I miss snow.
Sure.
But being here, you know, like, that's one thing that I miss. And I'm thinking, like, that's where I would want to go for vacation is to snow.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Here, people want to gamble their money.
I wonder if it's a sensory thing because, I mean, obviously, you know, Hawaii, it's a very sensory laden island, not in the terms of how Las Vegas is, but in for different, probably better ways, you know, but I suppose maybe it's one of those things where you're just always surrounded by such neat things and your eyes are always like, ooh, look at that, look at this. I guess Las Vegas is another one of those places in a totally different way. But when you got that stimulation always going, it's like, I need something also stimulating. And it's in a different different form. And I guess Vegas would certainly fit that bill. So there you go.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I guess.
Because we live on one of the smallest islands. So there's nothing really here. It's called the Garden Island.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Yeah. So we don't have nightlife.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just a beautiful ocean
and
all that. All right. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. Do really appreciate it very, very much.
Yeah.
Phone number 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. If you're going, is he okay? He sounds different. Bronchitis, still rocking that. Still got my inhaler right over here. I did take a hit right before I went on the air. See how well that holds out in my little, put it in the mic there. Little cough pearls. I took one of those too. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Once I get going on the air, it actually seems to help. Although right now I feel like I need to cough. But sometimes I can just kind of get going and it's like, oh, I sound okay. And then you kind of hit a plateau and you're like, yeah, and you just start sounding like absolute shit. But anyhow, not going to let that hold me back. Basically, the only time I think I can't go on the air is literally when I can't talk. And I don't think that's ever happened. I've come close. I've come close, but I've been able to at least squeak something out. Hell, even when I had my appendix burst last year, my biggest concern that week was not death. It was getting the EPP episode done so we didn't miss a week. Because we were past 100 episodes and it was like, no, we're not missing a week. We've done this, you know, consecutively through hell and high water. We're not going to miss it because of this silly little thing that could kill me. So I was live streaming that morning from my hospital bed. Literally, within 12 hours after having the surgery, after it burst, I was doing a live stream. And I accidentally live streamed to my personal account first. And I'm talking about the show, and I'm like, why is, like, all these people that I, like, know personally that don't listen to this show, they're confused and commenting on what I'm talking about? Like, oh, shit. I didn't switch over to the Ghost Stories account. And then I switched over to Ghost Stories. If you search back in the archives of our Facebook page, you'll see me in a hospital bed doing a live stream talking to people. Very, very medicated. That's my dedication. If anyone ever questions my dedication to this program, just know that. Within 12 hours of almost dying, I wanted to make sure that we were still up and running. So when you're kind of addicted to your job, or you love your job, I guess is what you do. People always ask, you know, how long have you been doing this for? Caller at 602. Hang on, I'll get you in a minute. And I've worked in radio since 96. So over 20 years, about 22 years on the air. But I've been playing radio station. I literally went from playing radio station at my house to working at the real radio station. So from like the age of about 2 or 3, I was pretending I was on the air on a tape with a tape deck. Then 14, I started on the air. And so if you look at it that way, I've been kind of going for about 33 years now doing this. So it's kind of, yeah, I guess it's dedication. I guess it's, I think it's like a level, beyond it, quite honestly. Let's go to a caller over at 602. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi. I've called in before, and I'm going to just stay anonymous because I don't want to freak out the people living in the house now.
Phyllis, Joan, Deborah, Amy. I'm just shooting out random names. I have no idea. That's fine. You can totally stay anonymous.
Mary Smith.
It's you again. All right, go for it. Let's hear your story.
Well, since you're in a theme of people calling and saying, "Hey, I live in a haunted house," I thought I would tell you a little bit about the house I still own.
Okay.
That I do not live in any longer, but is haunted as you know what.
Haunted as shit, I'll say it for you.
I thought I would tell you once. I had another word in mind, but I'm not going to say
haunted
it.
Haunted as fuck. So, we can swear. There's no rules here.
You're a host. It's your show.
Exactly. It's my pirate ship. We can do whatever we want. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you one little story from the house, but this place, so haunted. I mean, conversations in other rooms. I mean, things moving around. I mean, things disappearing and showing up at another place. I mean, orbs streaking across photos in all kinds of weird ways. It's a bizarro place. So I'm going to tell you this one story, though. And sometime I'll call back with other stories. I have millions of them. So this one, in this one case, at the time, I was a little under the weather. I had two small children, so I had some household help. And I had a gal who came in 3 days a week. And she came in very early, and she would be there most of the day. So, you know, one day she saw me when weird things started happening in the house. She saw me, like, you know, with the digital camera out in those days. I was, like, on the internet trying to figure out, like, how do you tell if you have ghosts in your house, because bizarre stuff was happening. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a believer. I did not believe in this stuff until this stuff started happening. So I, you know, she saw me. And I was very scientific. I had my digital camera. I had my husband's digital camera. I'm trying to get stuff from, like, opposite angles. And I said to her one day, "Are you wondering what I'm doing?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Okay, can I ask you a question?" She goes, "What? Does anything weird ever happen here? Maybe not around." And she looks at me and she says, "Well, now that you're asking, yes." So she proceeds to tell me a string of stories, and this one just always stuck with me. She said she came in early. She was coming real early. I loved it. She came in early, got the kids up, got them breakfast. This one morning, she was in there early, and she wanted to make the coffee. So we had a percolator, you know, the old kind with the mm-hmm. little glass top in the top.
Sure.
The old-fashioned kind.
Yeah.
So she went to set it up, and she had it all set up, and she couldn't find the glass top. And she couldn't, and she's looking all over the place, and she's drawers and in closets and thinking, where could this have gone? It's not where it's supposed to be and where I put it. So she said, she stood in the middle of the kitchen and she said, "All right, where could this glass top have gone? Okay? She said it arced off the back of the sink, and she says she knows it wasn't there when she was looking. She said it arced off the back of the sink, arced up over her, landed on the stone floor at her feet, did not break. And she went and she picked it up, and I said, what did you do? What did you say? She said, I said, thank you. And that's it. That's my story.
That's a helpful ghost. That's just someone that's trying to be there. So I do have to understand what happened here with the rest of the story, because you don't live there anymore. Is that by because of the ghosts? And you said, screw it, somebody else can do it, and I'll just they can pay me to have the ghosts. Or what was the thought process?
They were essentially friendly ghosts. They were Caspers, I think, for the most part. We moved. I wanted my husband to clean out the garage, and I figured the easiest way to do that would be to move. But we ended up keeping the house, and we do rent it out to people. And, you know, I over the years, current tenant has never mentioned anything. I'm very happy with it. But I've had tenants who I think have been a little more sensitive, and I always know if they like them or they don't like them, depending on the calls I get.
And how do those conversations go? Are you like, that's happened to me? Or are you like, I have no idea what you're talking about?
No. Oh, we'll send an electrician out to take a look at the electrical. Oh, no.
You're that landlord.
No. I don't ever say anything about it. I don't want to. One lady, she called, and, you know, in the course of our talking, and I think they were just having, I think they liked her and her husband, and they had, there's a lot of similarities between them and us, so I think they liked that, but I don't think they liked her father-in-law, because every time her father-in-law visited, I got a call about the electrical, and she said, like, you know, half the lights in his room went out, and half of them went out in the laundry room, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll send down my husband to, you know, look at it. And here's the thing. We had rewired the house when we renovated it. There's no connection between the electrical in the laundry room and the electrical in the room that the father-in-law was staying in.
Sure.
And if it was something with the electrical, it should have been the whole room should have gone out.
Yeah.
So, like, we got a lot of that kind of stuff. And I will tell you that both those rooms, the one the father-in-law stayed in and the laundry room, were very active places. Like, things were always happening in both those rooms. So, you know, I sent my husband down, and I'm like, don't say anything about this. Just go down there, play it straight.
Let's do a little role-playing here. I'm going to be the tenant. You're going to be you. And I'm calling you because stuff's going down at the house. And answer as if you would answer the person who is there. Hey, Mary, I got a concern for you about the house that I'm renting. Is it
okay?
The electric seems to be cutting out some places. But that, I mean, I know that happens in some older homes. But what really has been disturbing me more has late at night, I'll go in and get some laundry going, and I'll notice the walls are bleeding. And it looks like there's blood coming out of the, like, through the wallpaper. And I applaud you, because I really enjoy the pineapples that are being strung over through the walls with cherubs. That's a really interesting pattern that you put there. But the blood that's coming out of it is really weird. Can we get somebody to look at that?
Okay, actually, you're not all that far off.
Are you serious? Your walls are bleeding?
No. Wait a minute. Let's get it clear here.
Okay.
It's first off, we did renovate it. It's a very modern, you know, Zen kind of a modern house.
Mm-hmm.
And during the renovations, it was a very, very busy place. But no, there is no wallpaper. But I did get one of those calls from one tenant who I think was just super sensitive herself. It was one of these, you know, my dog keeps barking at something in the middle of the
room. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm a little concerned because I keep thinking there's an intruder, you know, mm-hmm. And then he kind of follows it throughout the house. And
is this place haunted? because I put my keys down on the counter, you know, we always put our keys in the same place, and I went right back in and the keys were gone, but then I found them under my bed.
And what do you say?
How very strange.
Okay,
And unusual. Perhaps your dog is hearing something from the highway, which runs kind of quiet to the house. Perhaps, you know, I have 500 reasons.
Sure.
You know, maybe you put them down. And then I got another call saying, gal, oh my God, she went on for like an hour of every little thing that went on in the house. And I finally just said to her, well, you know, she said, you know, I'm sensitive. And I said, oh, well, maybe just ask them to stop if you really think that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just ask them to stop.
Okay, I got another scenario. Hey, Mary, I'm in the house, and my dog does not go out of the house. It's there all the time. If it goes outside, it's on a leash. It does not interact with other animals. And now it seems to be about 6 months pregnant, and I'm not quite sure what's going on. It's been growling very strangely, and sometimes its eyes turn red, and it really has a weird affection to watching Cujo on demand. It's this weird thing, and I'm not quite sure how it's pregnant. It also seems to have an affinity to Rosemary's Baby. So I'm not sure what is going on. Do you think something impregnated my dog from another dimension? How would you handle that one?
Well, no, but you know what? I'm wondering, have you seen coyotes around? Because I've heard that they will hop right over that wall and mess with your dog.
That the coyotes will break into the house and mess with the dog is what you're insinuating. Late at night, it might have gotten into the living room, and they might have had freaky lovemaking.
could be, or maybe were you walking the dog on the preserve? Were you...
There you go.
I don't know. Did you host somebody else's dog? Believe me. I am like not admitting to anything.
The dogs came out and they had hooves.
As long as I wanted to bring in ghost hunters, like real ones, like you would have heard the names if I mentioned who they were.
Sure.
And I was just, you know, why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Just to know if there's something there. I said, well, you already know, or you think you know, there's something there. So you've already answered your question.
Well, it was really interesting hearing the perspective from the landlord that knows there's ghosts in the house, because we get this all the time where it's the renters that are like, they didn't seem to know anything about it. But now we know the other side a little bit better. And you know what? I don't blame you at all.
You had once put out a call for that. Like, I would love to hear the perspective from the landlord, and I almost dialed, and I thought, nah. I will tell you, they're friendly. And, you know, part of the reason, you know, it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
They are friendly.
Sure.
They will warn you if there's a scorpion. Like she was saying, you know, I always seem to know where the scorpions are, but when I get there, they're dead.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And they used to do that for me, but they were alive, and I had to kill them. So the one time when she was really pushing hard to get those people in, I kept saying, well, you know, all right, you think you got something there, and they let you know where the scorpions are, and they kill them for you. What's the problem?
It's like it's the Orkin ghost. it does its
exactly.
job. Well,
say thank you very much. Don't scare me, and just move on with your life.
And that probably seems to be what would work. Best. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your stories with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Nothing better than a ghost that doesn't make the walls bleed or impregnate puppies that come out with hooves. So that is it's a good thing. The phone number again, 216-446-7810. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we would love to hear them. Phone lines are open at this exact moment. So if you want to get yours in here before we end the program for today, this is your chance to do just that. Remember, if you have not heard yet, our yearly EPPs, Extra Podcast People, we have a new extra that we're putting out there for the yearly subscriptions, whether you're renewing on your renewal date or you're upgrading from a regular or just signing up for the first time for an EPP membership, Extra Podcast Person membership at ghostpodcast.com. Sign up for the yearly and you'll get one of these. It doesn't show up well in the light. I'm trying to get it to show up on the light. Our logo's right there on it. There we go. Ooh, works better when you go back and forth. A spirit flask is what I'm calling it. Official Real Ghost Stories Online one engraved in there. We'll get that out to you with yearly EPP memberships. And just in time for the holidays, too. And it's not like the Uber. I mean, it's a good-sized flask, but it's not like the Uber giant one that, like, awkwardly stands out. This could, you could fit into a purse. You could fit it into to pretty much any pocket without it looking too obtrusive as you go into Aunt Martha's house for the holidays and try and survive that. What's worse, annoying relatives or being in a haunted house? What would be the worst scenario for you? Family or ghost? Which would you rather sit in a home with over the course of the holidays? 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's do a caller here. Christine, hi.
Hi, my name is Christine. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I had a weird story that happened in 2008. I moved to Pasadena from just another part of LA, not far away from there, but moved into Pasadena, right off Colorado Street, kind of in the heart of it all. And, one day went to walk up to the Rite Aid, which was about a block away, grabbed some stuff, and I was walking back. And, I lived on a little street that didn't have that many, there was like a bank on the corner and, some small businesses that they weren't really busy, so they'd closed very early, and it was a quiet street. And the building that I lived in, I was actually doing a leasing job, so it was an empty 30-unit building that I was leasing out. So it's a pretty empty street, and I'm walking back down the street, and suddenly I was looking down at my feet as I was walking, and I just suddenly saw different shoes, different... Like there was a dress, like old black shoes, little like booties, kind of like a long dress and dirt. And the crazy part was that I could smell so much of this environment, and it smelled like dirt, horses. I could hear them, and I looked up and I could see, it was so weird. It was just like I could see this other, I don't know, veil, I guess would be the word for it, but of another time. And I had this overwhelming sensation that I was in the exact same place where I was standing in Pasadena on that street, but like 100 years prior. And then I basked in it. I breathed in, and I kept smelling the dirt, and it went all through my nostrils. It was so crazy. And then it kind of went away. And then I walked back, and when I went back, I was so stunned. I had like felt the need to tell my roommate like what just happened. It was so weird. Anyway, weeks later, I was walking my dog around the neighborhood, and I went to go throw away something in the trash can on the street. And there's a little emblem on the trash can, and it says City of Pasadena Incorporated in 1886, which is exactly 100 years before the year I was born. Which I just thought was weird because I very much had this sensation that I was standing in that place, but 100 years before. So yeah, very strange. I do not know. but that was probably one of the craziest things that's happened to me in terms of unexplained events. Yeah. Anyway, that's all. Thanks so much. Love your show. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That's quite a time warp. That's quite a deja vu moment. And we all get those quite often, though. You know, it feels like, at least for me, it's like, oh, this feels like, you know, maybe it was a year ago, 2 years ago. Something relatively recent to have it where it's like, oh, my God, I feel like from a different place in a different time. And to be that engrossed in that feeling, that's quite a moment. That's quite a thing, if that's what you're experiencing. That's a really interesting one. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let's go to a caller at 661. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Heather, and I'm from California.
Okay, let's hear your story, Heather.
Yes, I've actually called in a couple times already. It's just been a few weeks since then. But I basically wanted to go ahead and bring up something like when it comes to dreaming and feeling dread. One of them, unfortunately, they're kind of depressing, but they're very, I'm not fully sure why kind of deal. So for the first one, I wanted to go ahead and say, a few years ago, a friend of mine was murdered. And it was actually a very horrible way, but nonetheless, he was murdered. About, I would say, the day after I found out, I did not know exactly how he died. I was just told that he was dead, and so that night I was dreaming, and basically I saw the whole murder. I was put in his shoes, and I saw what he saw, and I saw the face of his killer. The next day, I went on ahead and told my other friend about it, and I described the person who killed him, or at least from what I saw in my dream, and pretty much made a note of it. There's a whole lot of things going on since the next couple of days, because the guy was on the run and whatnot, and pretty much what happened was I heard somebody talking about a name. I went on ahead and put an anonymous tip in to the police officer, because I did not want any more violence going on. No, who it was. So I put an anonymous tip in, and pretty much not even minutes later, the guy walks in and turns himself in. And and pretty much, and the paper the next day went on ahead and put out a print, and it actually had the picture of the guy who committed the murder. And when I saw it, like my jaw dropped. Because the picture was exactly how I described the guy to my friend, so exactly who I saw in my dream. And I went to go show my friend this, and she could not believe it, to say the least, because, it was, again, to a T, but what I never understood was why did he come to me? I know, when it comes to paranormal experiences and whatnot, I do have them often. It's kind of just like a walk in the park for me when it comes to feeling stuff like that. But it's, I just question, why couldn't he go to anyone else he knew? So why did he come to me? But, the next one, I was actually driving, and that entire day I was feeling just nothing but dread, just everything. I was having very bad anxiety, and I was just like, I was talking to my cousin, and I was telling her, I don't know why, but I'm just something's wrong. Just something's wrong, and I don't know why, and I don't know what, but something's wrong. And I was telling her the entire day. She was telling me, trying to calm me down and telling me, don't freak out, because you're just having an anxiety attack, nothing wrong, nothing out of the norm. And pretty much we were texting each other back and forth until she stopped texting me for a bit. So I'm just going about my day, trying not to have a full-blown panic attack. And then my cousin calls me, and she told me that our friend was dead. She she said that she committed suicide, but for some reason, it just didn't sit well with me. I'm like, no, that can't be it. There's something else. There's something else going on. When about, I would say, about a month after she died, details came out that it actually wasn't a suicide. She was murdered. And the only reason why it was said that it was a suicide was because there was a police investigation going on and they didn't want it to be called a murder until they found out who was the one who did it. And it was actually her ex-boyfriend. And I remember always seeing pictures of the guy, and it just never sat well with me. Just I never felt right, you know, felt right with him. But it's just like, why me again? Because my cousin, she's more sensitive than I am, and she was a lot closer to our friend than I was. So why is it that, you know, why did I go ahead and feel that feeling, and why not her or someone else who was closer? You know, you think that that would happen, but it wasn't. Yeah, you know, for either of them.
I would say sometimes it's just one of those things where we hear this quite often, where people are like, well, I'm not like super tight with this person. This is not like my favorite, you know, cousin, uncle, whatever it may be. But it is someone who I know. And I think sometimes once you get to the other side, this is just my guess on it, there are certain people that have a light that's shining brighter than the others. For whatever reason, and it's not that they can pick it, it's not that you can pick it, but they're trying to pick the right person to get whatever message across that they need to get back across, and you're the one who stood out as being the most likely to do it for whatever information they had, and that's probably why you get, you know, I guess targeted that way from folks on that side to get that message across. That would be my guess.
Yeah. And I mean, that would actually make sense, but it's just, At least the one with my cousin. I mean, that one, it was the one that surprised me most of all.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, she's when it comes to sensitivity level, she's pretty much like 100 compared to my 10.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and that's weird. So, like, it might just be like who's available, and if the 10 is available for, you know, that can be accessed at that time, maybe that's the person that gets accessed. But sometimes it's just whoever I think is, you know, whatever in that vicinity that may be the choices, and you make the best choice for who you're by at that moment in time. Thanks for calling and sharing that story with us. I do greatly appreciate it. I think that will probably wrap up the program for today. Thank you guys for calling in and sharing your stories with us. If you have a ghost story you want to share with us anytime, be sure to write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or go to ghostpodcast.com. Sign up to be an EPP and get all the bonus episodes of our program. And that's what helps to keep our program on the air. We cannot do this thing without you. So thank you guys for tuning in today and sharing the story with us. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.